and welcome back to the Book Cave. For anyone who just happened across this podcast or might be unfamiliar with us, we run the Book Cave blog on WordPress, where we review books, post about author events or conventions, just anything book-related, basically. I'm Jessica Rhino, and I started the Book Cave, and I live in St. Louis, Missouri. Today, our intro thing is going to be, what genre would you read if you weren't reading your favorite one? I'm pretty sure everyone on here is going to say fantasy is their number one genre, but I want to know what would be your second favorite, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
Well, I'm Catherine from Rochester, New York, and yes, my favorite is fantasy for number one. Number two, I think, would be romance.
I am
Anastasia. Digest that as you will.
I am Anastasia from Connecticut, and I'd say my second favorite genre is sci-fi.
Okay, that helps me, Anastasia. Thanks.
You're welcome.
My name's Jennifer. I'm from Orange County, California. I was going to say I only really read romanticy, fantasy. I don't really like romance, but I'll read every once in a while. But I do like sci-fi, and I used to love dystopian, but that genre fell out. But if this were 2012 to, like, 2015, I probably would have said dystopian. So I'll go with sci-fi.
And I came up with the question, but I don't have a good answer. It's pretty much fantasy all the time, but I do read other things, but they're all kind of like on the same level. I used to read like a lot of murder mysteries, cozy mysteries, I guess, and those are still good, but I would just prefer fantasy. But I run a book club, and they read, you know, a mix of stuff, and I've read that, and I've enjoyed it too, so, I don't know. Fantasy first, and then just books. Books number two. That's cheating.
Like that.
Sorry. The first half of our podcast, we talk about the books that we've read recently, and any books or events or book signings or events we've gone to, things we're excited about, books that we're looking forward to reading. In the second half of the podcast, I'm struggling today, guys. I am sorry. Work was stupid today, and my brain is a little fried.
You're doing great.
Yay! The second half of the podcast, we do a deep dive into a book that we have all read. That part will not be spoiler-free, but we will tell you when to turn it off if you have not read the book that we're going to talk about today, which is Five Broken Blades. So in the second half, we will let you know. Spoiler warnings and turn off if you have not read Five Broken Blades. But the first half will be spoiler-free. So, Catherine, what did you read this month? I'm going to take a break because clearly I can't do words.
Well, I was thinking, like, I think it's romance. And then I looked at what I read in August, and it was all romance books. So clearly
you like romance.
The first half of the summer, I went really hard on fantasy, and I am ending the summer with romance. So I kind of was all over the place in terms of my ratings for these books. I think I talked about this at the end of our last episode, that a friend had recommended Forget Me Not by Julie Soto. And I read that, and also its companion book, Not Another Love Story, or Not Another Love Song. And I liked them. I gave them fours. It's definitely like in the same universe. There's some minimal overlap, but they're kind of their own stories for the most part. It's definitely, both of them had the like grumpy and meet sunshine trope that they went for it. Forget Me Not was a lot more high stakes. Like, they were very stressful situations. You kind of kept having to turn the page to, like, or at least I do. Like, I can't really put a book down when there's like it, when it's like stressful reading. I need to like know like every how things ended or like what happened next. And Not Another Love Story had more spice, but it was also in a little bit of like a pretentious music world. And I just didn't love it. I kept wanting to leave it. Even though I liked the romance and all of that, the overall world it was in was not my cup of tea. But I gave both of those books 4 stars. I also read The Pairing by Casey McQuiston. This is an author that a lot of people have recommended to me, and this just happened to be her newest book that came out. And it was one of those things where, like, the description, everything about it sounded like it'd be really great. It's like childhood friends going on a trip around Europe together. They're both like foodies. There's really funny side characters. But for whatever reason, I just could not get into this book. Like, I was not invested at all in the main characters or their relationship. So maybe it was just me, but it had all the makings that I thought I would love it. I gave it 3 stars. And then I was visiting a friend this summer, and she was like, oh, these books are hysterical. They're set in Christmas. I know it's August, but they're really great. I'm so glad she did. They were A Merry Little Meet Cute. I know these titles will make Jess gag a little. A Merry Little Meet Cute and A Holly Jolly Ever After. They're by 2 authors, Julie Murphy and Sierra Simone. It was porn stars, pop boy band stars, on the Hope Channel, basically the Lifetime Channel, making Christmas movies together. It was hysterical. It was spicy, Jennifer. Super spicy. And then surprisingly, like, meaningful and heartfelt at times, which I didn't see coming. I gave it 5 stars. I had so much fun with these books. There's a third one that's going to come out probably this Christmas. It said 2024, and it isn't out yet, so I'm pretty sure it's probably going to be Christmas time. It's probably going to be the third member of the boy band's romance, would be my guess. But, oh my gosh, this 5 stars. I had the best time reading these books. And yeah, that's what I read lately. What about you, Anastasia?
So I continued reading The Zodiac Academy. These books, I swear, are getting longer and longer. But I finished 3 more of them. And wow. I'm still enjoying them. Obviously, because I'm still going and I'm currently reading one of them.
You can't stop now.
I know, right? I've gotten this far, so I have to finish. But it's definitely, the bullying is lightening up a little bit, so that's nice. Yeah. And
How many stars are you giving it? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm curious.
At first, I think the first one I gave like 4, and then okay. I started giving them 5 stars because I was really enjoying it. Like, I don't know if I'd say it's like the highest quality writing I've ever read, but it's so entertaining that I don't care.
I love it. I'm so happy to have like one of you guys read something I love. Like, it makes me feel joy in my heart. Okay, sorry.
No, you're good. Yeah. Though I have to say that there's only one of the like main love interests that I generally liked the most. Like, the rest of them, I do like them. But they're still being just too stubborn about one particular aspect of the story for me to fully like them yet, because I'm just, like, annoyed with them all the time. So there's only one of the love interests that I, like, am wholeheartedly rooting for.
I can guess.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Jennifer? What are you reading?
This month I read only 6 books, which is half of what I normally read. When I went to go count them before the podcast, I was like, oh my gosh. But I was in Mexico City for a week, and then I celebrated my dad's birthday. So yeah, just not a lot of time. I reread because, you know, that's my jam. I reread the Fire in the Flesh series. Sorry, my cat is going to knock over my plate. By Jennifer L. Armentrout, and the final book of the series was Born of Blood and Ash, and it was so good. I was so happy to, like, it's a good conclusion, and even though I'm, like, super sad that it's over, I know, or I hope I get to see or hear more about them in the Blood and Ash series. And let's see, I also started a new series, Fate and Alchemy by Callie Hart. And it is so good. I really, yeah. really liked it. The first book is Quicksilver. I give it 5 stars. Shocking. And I give it like 3 or 4 chili peppers. I still haven't decided on my scale, but like there's stuff that happens in the second half of the book. So it hit all the check marks for me, and it had so many good feelings, and it's kind of dark in some parts, but still, it's really great. I really, really liked it. And the FMC, that's right? The male killer. Oh, the MMC, the male character. He's kind of like a shadow daddy. So Zayden, Cassie, and Rowan, a little bit mixed. And then the main character is Ceres, and she's sassy. I really liked her. Some of the stuff she does in the beginning, I'm like, why are you doing that? But it all plays into the whole reason how the story goes, so fine, I'll accept it. And the world building is super different. Well, not different, I should say, but there's a magical thing that I felt like is kind of unusual, and it was nice to have like some new magic and like a new type of world to jump into. And yeah, I highly recommend it. Lots of feels. It was good. And I didn't even know it was getting a bunch of hype until after I read it, so you'll probably see it around soon.
Jess. Is that it? Okay, yeah. Back to me. First of all, this is a good thing I went last, because we'll have to mark this occasion. I read more books than Jennifer.
What?
I read. Wow. It's a total cheat, guys. A total cheat. Hold on. So I was struggling this month, and I just couldn't really get in. I didn't want to start anything. I just didn't want to start it. And so I tried something different, and I've done this before. I used to work at an elementary school, now I work at the library, so sometimes I'll grab some of the really popular middle grade books, and just to see what they're all about, and then we can recommend them and stuff too. So there is that perk. So I did some of that, plus it was less commitment, I guess, so it was easier for me to get into it. I don't know. But also, my reading this month was kind of messed up. It just, nothing worked out for me. Anyway, so I found this, it's not really a series, but it is the same bunch of books by the same author. And she basically just rewrites the Disney movie. I thought about saying Disney was my second genre, because I feel like I read a lot of the Disney books. But it's just basically the movie rewritten as a book. And at first I started it, I didn't know what it was. I was like, I'm going to listen to this and see what it's all about. And I was like, is this just the movie? And it was. But it also, you got a lot of like inside thought into the characters. And it was really interesting. And it was entertaining. They weren't super long. Obviously, they're a middle grade book. They're pretty short. So I got through a bunch of them. I just checked them all out at the library. And I had this little stack going. And I worked my way through them. So I did Lady and the Tramp, which was adorable. I did Aladdin. That one was a lot of fun because you got to get like in Aladdin's head, in Jasmine's head, much more than you do in the books or in the movies, obviously, because you can't hear their thoughts. But it was fun. I liked hearing the, you know, getting deeper into the characters for some of these. The Lion King. Why all of these have the same name as the movies, except for the one that's called Frozen Heart, but it's Frozen. But the book is called Frozen Heart, but it is the movie, exactly. Beauty and the Beast, and then I did Maleficent, which is the movie, Maleficent.
Okay.
They're all, you know, middle grade books. They're short, they're sweet, they're the movies, just with a little extra. And I really enjoyed them. It was a lot of fun. While I was perusing the middle grade section, there's a series of books. There's a bajillion of these books. They're called The Warriors, The Warrior Cats.
Oh, yeah. I know The Warriors.
So I was like, God, there's too many books. And some of those are pretty fat books. So a couple of months ago, when I was curious about Wings of Fire, I was like, oh, I'm not reading all those books. But I'll read the graphic novels. And I read the graphic novels, and they were fun. I liked them. So I was like, I'll read the Warrior graphic novels. So, laugh at me, Anastasia. Yeah. I was thinking it was the books in graphic novel form. It's not. They're like little mini stories that go in between the books. So I couldn't find the order. But then I finally found one that said that, you know, it had them listed book one, book two, book three, book four. And I was like, and then there was a brand new one that just came out. So I was like, okay, that must be the most recent one. So I'll read these ones and then I'll get to the most recent one. But that wasn't right. The most recent one was actually, I guess, a book in graphic novel form. And it's like the very beginning, because one of the older cats in the first book I read was a kitten in the most recent book. I'm so confused. I'm just reading along, hoping this will someday make sense, and it does not. There was one where they're like, we live in the forest, but our forest is being torn down by the two legs, so we have to run away and find a new place to live. And then I get to this next book, and they're back in the forest, and I'm like, I don't understand what happened. I was so lost. But each of the graphic novels was in itself like a little short story. And I get the gist of it. The characters were cute. So I'm good. I don't need to read any of the books. I got the flavor. They did get kind of repetitive though. It was always somebody in the clan is going to betray us and we must fight the other clan. It was pretty much the same story over and over again. But I guess for kids, that's okay. I did think it was weird that there were like, one of them had like a pregnancy trope. Like, this is a middle grade book.
I was not expecting you to say that.
Yeah. But the cat got pregnant and then, you know, she had to learn how to hunt with her big old pregnant belly and this and that. And I'm just like, huh. I mean, I get that the stories follow the cats from like when they're kittens until like they're adults. I just didn't imagine one of the middle grade characters was going to get pregnant. I wasn't prepared mentally.
Those books take up so much shelf space in the library.
There's so many of them.
And I have gotten rid of a bunch. There are so many of them.
There's like 200.
It's a commitment if you want to try and read those. And nope, though, I will tell you, some of those middle grade books are bricks. If you've ever seen the Keeper of the Lost Cities books,
they are huge.
They are gigantic. So I wouldn't underestimate middle grade at all. They can be huge. Mm-hmm. That was probably the most popular.
Huge books and long series.
Warriors slowly losing popularity, but it has waves over time.
I was curious. I experienced it. I don't really regret my choices, but I just didn't do it right. And keeping with that theme, I also read Bookish and the Beast by Ashley Poston. I read Geekerella, which is the first book in the series, years and years and years ago. And I kind of thought they were all standalone, so I picked up the third book and tried to read it. It's doing great this month, guys. They are, I think, technically standalones, but there is crossover. Like, characters from the other books pop up and do, like, one thing, or they run into them at a party or whatever. So I don't think you have to read them in order, but you might as well. It's going to be more fun if you do. Because then you know who these characters are when they pop up. So they're a really fun book. They're also not fantasy, but they're about characters who are obsessed with a fantasy fandom. So basically fantasy. I read the first one, Geekerella, on a convention weekend. So I thought that was extra fun because I was reading about people at a convention obsessed with this fandom. It's a like a Star Wars-ish fandom called Starfield. And I don't know. They were a lot of fun. I had so much fun reading Geekerella. And then the second book came out and I was just, I don't know, not in the mood. And then I saw the third book on the shelf, and it's Beauty and the Beast, and I love Beauty and the Beast. And it has a dog on the cover, and I was like, yes, I'm going to read this.
Checking a lot of boxes.
I know. In this one, there is a bad boy, rich boy actor who gets sent to a small town to hide out after his latest scandal. and he runs into the small town girl who is obsessed with Starfield, and yes, he happens to play her favorite character. So, hijinks ensue. But they're a lot of fun. YA, no spice. Sorry, Jennifer. But geekiness. Fun geekiness. Oh, that's the one I was reading when I texted you guys and I said, I'm pretty sure she just referenced a book that we all know. With the large gold book that finished up a smutty series. Smutty fantasy series. I even looked it up. I'm like, what year was this published? What year was that book published? I was trying to figure it out. But yeah, there's a lot of little fun pop culture references in those books.
I like that when authors do that, reference other books, especially when they're friends. Jennifer L. Armentrout does it a lot, and I'm like, I like that. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Anastasia, what's your book club read this month?
They read Assistant to the Villain, which is funny because I had read it in preparation for the book release, so it was really convenient, actually. it gave me a little bit of a break. But this was one they actually really liked. They had fun with it because it was silly and goofy and weird. They gave it 4 stars.
Nice.
Yeah.
I only do book club every other month, so I did not do book club this month. But I was going to do a throwback to one I did before. We read Crying in H Mart. And
ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of the first ones when I took over the book club and I had to read, and I'm like, I don't read anything but fantasy. Why must I read this? And it was not something, like, if you had told me the premise of this book, I would have been like, no, that is not for me. And it was rough because it's like a memoir. It's her kind of retelling the whole losing her mother to cancer, and I mean, it kind of starts with her, how they grew up and everything, but it's not really like a whole, it's just hitting the highlights of her and her relationship with her mom. And kind of reminded me like, Marley and Me? Wasn't it Marley and Me? Where the dog dies for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can't take this. The dog's still dying and I just can't take it. It was kind of like that for the whole book. And I was just like, oh my gosh, because she's just distraught over losing her mother throughout this whole book. And, you know, talking about all the fights they had, the times they didn't agree on things, and the time that her mom put pressure on her for this or that. And you could just tell that she's just, wallowing's not the right word, but, you know, miserable because of some of these things, these memories. There were a few good ones. But not a lot. So it was a rough one, but everybody in my book club really liked it, really enjoyed it. And I don't remember how many stars they gave it, but they liked it.
Sounds like I would cry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And also, H Mart is a store here. I don't know if you guys have that over there.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have them. I don't think we have them in St. Louis. I've seen them in Chicago.
Yeah.
But I don't think we have them in St. Louis.
They got good food at the end of the night. You get half off.
They have good selection on Asian food, too.
Yeah, good. It's all, I think, mostly
it's really good.
Yeah. Any events, ladies? Jennifer, sometimes I'm getting really annoyed with you because I see authors doing events out there.
What do you see? You can send them to me.
Well, Victoria just did another event where she just sat at Barnes & Noble all day and signed books.
It's hard to get the Barnes & Noble at the Grove. You have to get the tickets right away.
It wasn't even like that kind of event. Like And I don't know if it was the Grove. It was some reopening. It was at the... I don't think it was the Grove.
It could have been Santa Monica.
But it was some Barnes & Noble reopening. And, she sent pictures. It didn't look crowded at all. She's like, I'm just going to be sitting at a table signing books. Come by.
I'm going to RomanticyCon, but not till February 2025. But I bought it, even though I was like, ooh, shouldn't be spending money on that. But I am, if anyone wants to come to LA.
me and my husband, went to Fan Expo in Chicago a couple weeks ago. it was fun, but they only had two, like, bookish panels, and they were both, there's one on Saturday and one on Sunday, and they were, like, at the end of the day, like, at 5 o'clock. And, y'all, I can't be at a convention that long. Well, on Sunday, we wanted to hit the road and drive home, so we were on the road after our panel, which was at 2, so 2, 3, so, like, by 3:30, we were on the road home. I wasn't staying for a book panel at 5, but I was, like, might have been 4 on Sunday, but 5 on Saturday. Anyway, they didn't even sound that interesting. They didn't have any authors that I was interested in. They didn't have any author tables or book tables. Anderson's wasn't there. It was just like, and I know I went last year and they didn't have much, but I just hoped maybe someday they'll get on board, because books are a fandom too, people.
Yeah,
that's right.
Shame on you, Fan Expo.
But they did have, didn't they have, like, famous Star Wars people? Or
yeah.
Was that your other?
No, that was that one. Mm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they had some actors, but we met Mario Lopez.
Ooh.
So. Oh.
Not his name? Yeah, A.C. Slater.
Yep.
I don't do names. Sorry.
Me either.
Like, I can tell you every actor's name you had, but your real name? I don't know your real name. And as far as any other events, upcoming events, I'm gonna go to a Starfall ball.
Ooh. I'm so jealous.
Also in February of 2025.
Explain what that is, Jess.
Well, Starfall is I'm sure most people know, but it's a holiday in A Court of Thorns and Roses series. Mm-hmm. And it's become a thing to do, like, fantasy fairy balls where you just get dressed up and go to this ball with your friends or your significant other, I guess. You could take them if you wanted. I'm going with a friend. So,
Dan would probably love it. He'd probably get so much attention from the girl.
There's a guy here. Yeah, so it's just the ball. This one was, the way it's set up, like, it had, if you were a member of the Inner Circle, there's like a ticket for that, and then there's a guest of the Inner Circle ticket, and the member of the Inner Circle ticket is a lot more expensive, but you get dinner, and they said there's like a red carpet where they're going to take photos on the red carpet as you come in. Then there's dinner. And then they're supposed to have some vendors for shopping. And there's an open bar. I was like, can I get a discount? Because I don't drink.
I would help you drink those.
Like, I'm going to have to just, like, get drinks and carry them around and then set them down. And but then there... But my friend and I, we looked at the prices, and I was like, I'm okay with going with the cheaper price. It's fine. I don't need dinner, this and that, blah, blah, blah. But then we looked at it, and if you got the cheaper one, you only got in for the last 2 hours. And I was like, that's no fun. If I'm going to get dolled up and hang out, I want to be there for more than 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we went with the more expensive tickets. And I think we literally got 2 of the last 3, because it wouldn't let her check out. I checked out, I got mine, and then she couldn't check out, and she kept hitting check out. You know, she put all of her information in, her credit card information, and it kept saying error, and then finally it let her back on. And then when we went, because when she was having trouble, I signed in with my phone again to try and see if I could get another ticket, and it said sold out on the more expensive tickets, and then there was one of the cheaper ones left. I was like, oh, we just barely made it.
So I heard that these fantasy balls, I forget what year it will be, but it's going to be a $1 billion industry. Like, mm-hmm. We missed out. We could have been making bank. We could have thought of these bay balls, and the four of us could be making
You could. You still could. You could just start. Because they're not owned by the same people.
No, there's so many of them already, though. I get targeted for so many. There was just one in Austin.
In California. This is the first one in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Apparently there was one, like, a few months ago in Connecticut. I'm so mad because I had no idea. Who knows when that's going to happen again? Nothing happens here.
Nothing happens here. I was a little nervous because I'm like, this isn't until February, and I'm giving them a bunch of money. Who is this person? But it's a local lady here who's like a wedding coordinator. She has her whole like wedding coordinating business. And so I was like, okay. And she's got all the contacts to pull this off. So.
Oh, it's not one of like the companies, because there's some that just do it all in different states. Oh, interesting. See, Josh, she's going to put it off in Missouri.
That's what I'm telling you. We could still do it.
Okay, let's find a state
that doesn't have anything. But yet enough people.
Book readers. Yes, yes.
What you need is a small college state, or a small college city, because I did get targeted for another one that was in Cape Girardeau, which is not very big. It's way down south Missouri, but they have a college there, and theirs was already sold out for next May.
Oh, wow.
It's not until May 2025, and theirs is sold out.
Wow.
So, yeah. Brilliant money-making scheme right there. Current reader, anything you're looking forward to? Let's get us back on topic.
Well, I am currently reading, so Jess and her husband Dan hooked me up with a digital version of Icon and Inferno, and because I have been traveling and getting ready for school so much this month, I've been doing more listening for my books, but I have the last couple days started, like, right before bed, pulling it out and reading it, and I'm enjoying it so far, but my only comment on why it's taking me a while is just my life is crazy right now. So, yeah, that's my next read / current read. What about you, Anastasia?
I am pausing my Zodiac Academy read-through to read I joined a book club at, a next-door town library. So I'm going to be reading Witch King by Martha Wells. I don't know what it's about. I just was like, I'll take the book. Thank you. I'll see you next time. It's some sort of fantasy, because that's the whole point of the book club, is it's a fantasy. And I was going to go in blind and see what happens.
There you go.
Yeah. How about you, Jennifer?
I just finished this morning, so I haven't started a new book, but I already know what I'm going to start. But I finished A Legacy of Storms and Starlight. It was the third book, and it was the final book, and it was really good. It's about Fae. There's mates. There's my favorite tropes, one bed, one horse. There's some Sarah J. Maas, A Court of Thorns and Roses stuff that with requiring the love interest that kind of happens. That's fine. I got over it. Same way I got over once Freestand was introduced. I was like, okay. Bye-bye, Tamlin. Anyways, I recommend it. It's good. And then I will start as soon as we get out. Well, actually, I'll probably work a little bit. But then I will start. Oh, my gosh. What is it? By K.A. Tucker. A Dawn of Gods and Fury. And I don't know if this is the last book. But you guys will be very proud of me. I'm not going to reread the other three.
Oh, wow. Are you feeling okay?
But what about the feels?
Well, the thing was, I rated the first two books only 4 stars, so that means I must have found something a little bit boring.
a little bit boring.
For 4 stars, just a little boring.
There must have been some slow action going on. So, but
too many beds, too many horses.
There were 2 beds in that book, wasn't there?
Not enough sharing of the bed.
Okay.
But I couldn't remember what it was about, but I went and I looked up the just this book's little synopsis, and I was like, oh, I totally remember everybody, which is weird because the last time I read book three was in September 2023, and usually I can't remember anything that far away. So, who knows? No. For some reason, I remember this one, even though I only gave it 4 stars the first 2 books. But yeah.
Probably the shock of giving a book 4 stars.
Yeah. What's so funny is this, the last book I just finished this morning, I went and reread the other 2 books, and I gave them only 4 stars, but as I reread them and I finished, I was like, 5 stars. Why did you only give that 4 stars?
They don't understand. It just depends on your mood, I guess.
I guess so.
I am currently not reading anything. I just finished one last night, so I haven't started anything else. But I do have the second Once Upon a Con Geekerella sequel book on my shelf. So I already got that from the library, so I can read it and get everything straightened out. So I can read the second book now that I've read the first and the third one. Anything else we need to chat about before we dive in?
I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Some things I'm looking forward to in September. I was looking up and there is like a Fae Beauty and the Beast series that like the fourth book's coming out, but I'm interested to start it from the beginning. The first one's called Bonded by Thorns by Elizabeth Hellen. And I was curious if any of you guys had already discovered or gotten into this series because... No?
No, okay. Never heard of it.
Never.
And Libby is like, I don't know what this is. So I'm like, do I just go buy it at the bookstore or what do I do? But anyways, I wanted to check in on that. And I'm also
look it up just in case.
I'm also going to read or listen to Immortal Longings by Chloe Gong. And I think the second one for this is supposed to come out in September, too.
This Bonded by Thorns looks good, or their covers are cool, so you can let me know.
I will. Cool, I will. I think I have a credit on Audible that I think I still have one left after, like, using some credits for the graphic audio for our reread of A Court of Thorns and Roses, so maybe I'll use that for Bonded by Thorns. Yeah. I'll let you know next episode, hopefully. I'll have gotten my hands on it by then.
Okay. So, we're going to start our deep dive of Five Broken Blades. If you have not read Five Broken Blades yet, this would be your time to turn us off. We will have a spoiler-free review of the book on our blog soon. I have to finish mine. I'm the slacker this time. I was going to do it at work today, and work was stupid. I mentioned this to you already. Work was stupid today.
I didn't even start, but I promise I'm going to do it right after.
Right after this. I have started, and I was going to finish it today, but I just couldn't focus with the drama.
8 p.m. my time.
So it will be up soon. It's just not up yet. But also, the podcast takes a minute to get up to, so probably by the time the podcast is live, the blog will be live. All right, so if you haven't read Five Broken Blades, thanks for hanging out with us, but now it is time to turn off the podcast, unless you want spoilers. I don't recommend it, but whatever. We'll start with the cover. What did we all think about the cover?
I know what I think about the sprayed edges.
Yeah, I was going to say, nobody cares about the cover.
I mean, the cover is what, like, first attracted me to the book. I definitely saw it in a bookstore. I think I, like, sent a picture of it to you guys right away, too. And I was like, ooh, pretty. And it, like, definitely was, like, judge a book by its cover moment for me. I was like, what is this? Before I had, like, seen any inklings of it online. So I definitely think it's, like, attractive. It draws you in. But it's also five blades, like the title suggests. But I'm sure we'll talk about this a lot. But there are six characters. I just need to know of the six, who are the five blades?
I have that down.
Yeah, I wrote that down in my review.
Ty is not really like.
I don't understand. Well.
So those are my big feelings at the moment. Okay. About the title, about the cover. I mean,
okay,
it's pretty, but I don't know that it makes sense to me, even though I like it.
Yeah, I think it was kind of basic, like, oh, five broken blades. I'm going to put five blades on the cover. I don't really need to think about
this. The blades aren't broken. The blades are fine.
The blades are fine. But also, it's a fantasy book, so generic swords on the cover. I put more. They put more than five, more than one. They put five, but I just kind of felt like it's fine. I like swords on the cover, but don't feel like you put any extra thought into it.
No, I would have been more impressed if they were actually broken. They look fully intact.
Well, when I saw the cover, like, circulating around, you know, BookTok or whatever, Instagram, I was just like, okay, whatever. And then when I was walking through Costco and they had them lined up on the side, I was like, what is that beautiful book? And I sent it to you guys, and I bought that one and another one just based on the pretty sprayed edges. But then also, it's kind of far away. I can't see it. But isn't it, like, a girl with a sword up? Like, who is that?
Yeah, supposed to be? It's a girl.
It's just like they were like, let's put
it. Or a dude with long hair. We don't know. Let's not judge. It could be a dude with long hair.
Mikhail probably ties his hair up.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. One of the girls, she doesn't use blades at all.
Yeah. So I. Yeah. I was going to say that she was not a blade. But.
But then why call it Five Broken Blades? She's one of the main characters.
She's not one of the broken blades.
I feel like that it's a.
Was
Symbolism.
It a hint that she was kind of the...
Okay, so yeah, we're just going to skip over everything and get right into this.
Let's just go right to Aerie.
Yeah. I mean, we warned already there would be spoilers, right?
Yeah, so I thought... First I thought that... where are my names? That Sora was not a blade because she's the poison maiden and she doesn't use blades. She's poison. But then we got further on and I'm like, okay, well maybe it's Ty because he Taeyong. And maybe it's because he's not really part of this. He's just tagging along. But he's fighting and swinging blades. And then I thought at the end that maybe it was Aerie because she's like not really part of it. So
I feel like the
but she also doesn't use
like
blades
realism
really.
For the people who are like a part of the actual everyone who plays a part in the
heist
killing of the king. Yeah, the heist, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Because assassination so and Ty is the only one who doesn't really have a lie. Like, what's his lie that he likes Sora? What's her name? Sorry.
Sora.
Okay. I feel like everyone actually has like a
but
real
if it wasn't
lie.
For Ty, they wouldn't have been able to get introduced to that one guy to get into the box. Like, he ended up being important for the...
Yeah.
They could not have pulled that off without him.
I think the broken part is that they're all liars, so... I think that's, like, the point. All of them are liars. Especially Aerie.
Yeah.
So, although I really liked Aerie and Royo, like, right off the bat.
I did, too.
I was like, this is so sweet. He's nervous he touched her leg.
I here's the thing. I thought they were all, like, interesting at the beginning. Like, when they had their you know, little chapters. And I was like, okay, you sound like someone interesting to follow. You sound like someone interesting to follow, all of that. But I was really bad. I feel like initially at the beginning, some of their, like, point of view or voices were a bit too similar that I kept having to like flip back and try to distinguish, okay, who's who, until like halfway through when their voices became a bit stronger. But those two were ones that I remembered right off the bat. Like they I think were the romance that I liked the most in
yeah
this book.
I do like Ty and Sora in the end too, but yeah, poor Royo. I just re-listened because last time I thought we were talking about this book the last time we recorded, so then I rushed through it. So, and of course I took my time with, like, I'm not going to say the beginning was boring, but it just took me a long time to, like, really feel like I might like this book. And so I wanted to go back and listen to the parts that I was, like, skipping over sometimes to finish in time. So, I enjoyed it a lot better. And I listened to it on Libby.
I feel like you can say it. The first part was rough. Boring.
I didn't even want to read this book last time. I was like, let's stop.
Anytime you have multiple characters, you're gonna have multiple setup, multiple get to know yous, multiple introducing the setting and the city and whatever. And you had six. Yeah. Although I guess Taeyun kind of came on a little later, but oh my god, it was a lot.
It was a lot.
And it took a long time to get into the characters, to get to like the characters.
Once they all got together, that helped a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Then I was way more interested.
Which I was surprised how long it took.
Yeah. We could have trimmed some of that down.
Yeah. I felt like it didn't... I understand them... not beginning the book already all together, but I don't know that their journeys had to be as drawn out as they were, or mm-hmm. giving us so much of like their history and before they were all together. I wonder if it would have even been, I don't know, more interesting to get those little tidbits once they were all together mm-hmm. already.
Like the Mikhail and Yoon thing when they're like attacked by that bird thing. Like, what did that bird stuff even have to do with anything? I mean, just so they could like hook up in the cave later? I don't know. Like it.
I struggled with them. First of all, I don't think Yoon was. Yoon? The character? I don't know how to say his name.
Because the prince?
Mother's... The prince. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I struggled with him. I liked him, like the first chapter or two. And then when Mikhail showed up, I was like, who's this guy? And then I feel like it almost immediately flipped, and Yoon was annoying, and Mikhail was fine. But I just struggled with them. I didn't really like jumping into the middle of their relationship. I felt like it was a lot of telling and not showing, like... Okay, you're telling me they had this great romance and that they're both heartbroken, at least you only saw one side of it at first, but you know what I mean? I just didn't feel it, and I just didn't like being dropped into the middle of it without... I much preferred the other two where you were building the romance than being dropped into the middle and you're supposed to care. I don't know.
This book had a lot of telling, not showing.
Yes. I had that the writing was very, very bland. It reminded me a lot of, I had read Harry Potter and then went right into the first Hunger Games, and I was like, what is this? Because it's like, I got up and the bed was cold and I put my boots on and I went to the forest, and I'm like, this is not writing. But I felt like this was a lot of that. Where it's just like, I did this, and this happened.
And you are reading Harry Potter. You're always reading Harry Potter. So you're always having that comparison. This explains a lot about all your three stars.
Oh.
Yes. I feel like the answer solves a little bit of that mystery for us.
We have solved it all.
For any listeners who are new, Jess and her husband Dan also do a Harry Potter podcast where they are rereading the whole series and are on book 6. So they've been doing this for a minute, and so she is always reading Harry Potter, which is a great problem to have, to always be reading Harry Potter on the side. But
until you start a book that's not quite as magical.
Uh-huh. Which I totally agree that this is not on Harry Potter level writing, but yeah. I I like reflecting back on it, bland is not the word that came to mind, but I think my thing with the writing was the pacing, which I think we've already touched on. It's just the pacing being off. But even though the creature or whatever situation, maybe will come back in future books and play a bigger role. I mean, I felt the stress and like I could picture the creature and felt all those things during those scenes. So I think they were well written. In terms of their connection to the bigger story, yeah, that's still a mystery.
Mm-hmm. I just remember there was like one chapter with Aerie and she occasionally annoyed me. I did like her and Royo. I liked their, she was fun. She was one of the more fun people to read about. But also she kind of annoyed me sometimes because she seemed like she was focused, but then would get distracted by something. Or she's like, I gotta do this mission because I gotta make my father proud. I have to. And maybe her reasoning wasn't as solid as everybody else's. Her reason for committing to this wasn't as solid as everybody else's. But then she was also like, it was so random. Like, oh, he's kind of attractive. Not really, but kind of. Oh my gosh, it's not the time for wet undergarments. And I'm like, what? Where did that go? That escalated quickly. I don't know.
What
she just
makes more sense though later, I feel like.
She was just kind of all over the place. And I think she was kind of supposed to seem all over the place, but I don't know. It just
kind of to throw you off, I guess, more about her betrayal.
I don't know.
Yeah. She was a little bit more cunning than she came across. I think she's like, I don't know. Thinking back on it, she's kind of the unreliable narrator mm-hmm. of the group.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think we kind of broke down the characters already. I liked Eun, but then he annoyed me. I didn't like Mikhail, but then he was better. Ari was fun, but kind of all over the place. Or Ari, I keep trying to call her Ari. Royo was probably my favorite character of all
He's
of them.
Yeah, too.
For sure.
He's like the most genuine.
I think Sora and Taeyong were my favorite pair though, like relationship wise although there's kind of did go from I'm gonna kill you to okay, we can make out kind
but
of.
He was never gonna kill her.
No, I meant her. She wanted to kill him.
Sorry, that's true.
She wanted to kill him and send his severed head back to his father. And then it's like, oh, I guess you're not so bad, let's get in bed. And I was like, Did we? I feel like we're taking big steps here. They were not sure if they were going to live past the next day. People, you know, they got to jump in bed if they might die tomorrow. Yeah. I get that. But there was just like a moment, I think, in the carriage where you realize that he's actually in love with her. And I was kind of like, oh, that's what this is. And for like half a second, I was annoyed. I was like, eh, this trope's been done. But then I was like, as we got into it, I'm like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. And I already knew. I was like, oh, he whipped her sister to, like, go easy on her. Like, I just knew. It was like, I know exactly where this is, what this is, and where it's going. And I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I would say Roy is my favorite, and then Sora is my second favorite, and then Tai just kind of goes together with her. Yoon annoyed me. Yeah. Ari, when she is with Royo, I was happy with. And Mikhail was just kind of like whatever to me. But Yoon and Mikhail like whining about each other, I was like, shut up.
Character thoughts, Anastasia?
I think I had a harder time with this book than the rest of you. I didn't love any of them, but I didn't hate any of them. They were all just kind of there. They were fine. I think the pacing in this book affected everything, and I had a hard time with it. It was way too slow in the beginning, and then other parts were way too fast and too easy, and I thought most of the relationships, given the fact that this book took place over the course of, like, a month, there were some big issues that were resolved in, like, a few sentences. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It didn't make any sense to me. Like, I have read books in the past where people were like, oh, this is Insta-love, blah, blah, blah. No, it wasn't. It's like, this is like Insta-love here, where they're like, oh, I have hated you for like 20 years, but now I've learned you were actually not that bad, so 2 seconds is fine now, let's be together.
Yeah.
Like, maybe more than a day to process that, just a little bit. Yeah.
There was some, some quick things. Same thing with Ari. I was just like, here, you were like, I need this strong man. I don't know if I can trust him. He's kind of attractive, but he's not really attractive. But I want him right now. I'm like, oh, okay.
But if you look at it with what you find out later, that she's like only a 19-year-old girl pretending to be 24, I feel like that she's also just a little bit like, oh, he's cute, and I've been sequestered all my life.
Yeah.
But it comes to McHale and Yoon, I don't mind when you're dropped in the middle of an old, long-running romance or whatever. I'm pretty easygoing about most romance things, but as long as it's done well. For them, we needed more time for them to be angsty over the fact that they haven't seen each other in 3 years.
Yeah.
Where's the angst? This is a part where you actually need it. A little bit of miscommunication there because you haven't seen each other in 3 years.
Well, he did think he was there to kill him. He was like, he's here to murder me. Oh, but he doesn't want to murder me here. He wants to murder me back at my hotel. Okay, let's go there.
That is a bad killer.
it took them 5 seconds to get over that. They were traveling for what, 2 weeks?
Forever.
And after 3 years of not knowing each other and thinking he's gonna kill you, it took you a few days to be like, oh yeah, we're good.
And then did you feel like his paranoia came up out of nowhere? And Mikhail's like, oh, you've always been paranoid, and I'm like, really? When did this happen? I mean, he was paranoid by the end. He went a little crazy, but I didn't get that vibe from him before, and he was supposed to be dead, and if anybody ever found him, he would be killed. You could be a little, that's justified paranoia there, but I didn't get that vibe from him. He just felt like it came out of nowhere. It was just like, oh, let's make him paranoid now.
Yeah, this book was all over the place for me. I give it 3 stars, if anyone wants to know, which is very low.
Whoa.
For me.
What?
Whoa.
I give it 3 stars, too.
Yeah. It's definitely a 3-star read. It's got issues, but I think they can be fixed in the second book. Although I'm really
satisfied. 3 stars means it's fine.
Yeah.
I gave it 4.
And I didn't give it 3. I want to give everything 4. Go.
Whoa. I always do 3. So. Yeah, it had issues, but I was still, I just liked the characters, I think. I ended up really liking most of the characters.
I listened to it on Libby, and I think if I had to read it, I would have not been able to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't read it for the podcast, I wrote this in the review, I might have not finished it.
I would have DNF'd it, too. That's what I said when I first started. I was like, oh, no, what have we done?
That was the only thing that was keeping me going, was knowing that I had to read it for the podcast. At the beginning, I was like, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know what it is. It's just not clicking.
It's a rough
me.
Start. Yeah.
I don't care about the characters. And it got a little better the second half, but I still really didn't care. I just was reading it to finish it.
Well, okay. I started it back in June on our trip, Jennifer, and while everybody's napping at the hotel, I started this book, and then I, put it down. It was a busy weekend. I didn't get much reading done at all anyway, and you were visiting and whatever, and then we decided to do it for the podcast. So I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to pick it up again until it's closer, and I finally picked it up. I was like, oh, I think on the audiobook I got it an hour and a half into it, and I didn't think that I'd gotten that far. But I was like, well, I'm just going to back it up and start at the beginning because I don't really remember, other than that there was a whole bunch of people all planning on going somewhere to kill somebody. But I remember not really feeling it when we were in Metropolis on the trip. When I was reading, I was like, it's a slow start, it's rough. But I also,
yeah,
like,
me that.
Convinced myself that I didn't get very far, that I only got like 3 chapters in or something. Apparently I got a lot further than I thought.
Had we already decided we were reading it for the podcast by then?
I know.
Okay, because had I read just a little bit of Metropolis, I would have put a stop on that.
Well, in my head, I hadn't gotten very far, and I was like, oh, well, it's a lot of characters, so, you know, you gotta give it a little bit of leeway when you have that many characters.
You're right, you're right. I give every book at least, like, 150 pages to settle in.
Gotta settle in. Gotta meet everybody.
Yeah.
Gotta build that world.
And that takes time. Oh, no, see, I don't think that they did much for the world, no, other than the bird animal things.
Which had what to do with what, and who is this dragon lord? There's so many questions.
Yeah.
And not,
I
like,
don't think
questions.
We built any world. It was, it could have been any world, but that had big birds.
I think for me, knowing it was the first of a series, I guess is why I'm feeling more generous with it. I was like, I was not expecting this book to answer a lot of things. You know, I felt like, okay, this book is supposed to be set up. It did that. I think, like, the second half of the book, I did really enjoy. And the ending especially, I was like, oh, didn't think this was the road we were taking. And that was intriguing to me. So I am, like, when the second book comes out, whether we decide to read it for this podcast or not, because I'm getting the vibe that maybe this is dead to some of us. I at least will, and I definitely want to read it.
Yeah,
no, see what
I'll
happens
read it.
Next.
Me at the end. I'll read it.
I'll read it.
You don't have to, Jenner. It's okay to hate a book. I know that's hard for you, but it's okay.
I hate lots of
books. I have expressed this to a beloved book on this podcast before too. It's, you can survive it. I'm speaking from a survivor group here.
Tomorrow's book.
Oh, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Oh my god.
I'm sorry, Jane. In this book, you know that?
Yeah.
There was a line that actually said tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, and I was like, huh, the captain didn't like that one.
I totally forgot about that because I read this earlier in the summer too. That's right. Yeah.
I read that. I thought of you.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jane. I'm sorry. My friend Jane, who loves that book.
On the note of pissing Jane off.
Where is this going to go?
You haven't been to Jackbox. So last week at Jackbox, Jane held up a book and I was like, Jess, I just read this. Didn't you read this? And I had read it with the book club. And it was fine. It was fine. I didn't hate it, but I did get annoyed and thought it was rather repetitive. Like, we could have cut it down and made it. But apparently Jane loved it. And I was just like, ugh.
What's the book?
The Addie LaRue book. What's the Invisible Life of Addie LaRue?
Oh,
yeah, I heard of that.
That's supposed to be so good.
It's a little repetitive.
Like, it's supposed to be,
even
like, so
my little old good. Ladies at the book club was like, this could have been cut down.
When that came out, it was like the hype of the hype of the hype. Like, even my friends who don't really read books, like, I had it on, or one of the girls had it on her shelf. I'm like, it was so random. I was like, I want to read it, but I never did.
It was a fun concept, but once we understood, I was like, oh, this is interesting. Okay, it stopped being interesting. Like, we're still going? It's not as interesting anymore. But yeah.
Okay, I probably won't like it then.
It is interesting.
Yeah, I remember that book being everywhere.
Everywhere.
And it did. It was definitely something that I'm back in my mind, like, oh, maybe I'll pick that up one day. But, okay.
Do it on Libby.
Noted.
Listen.
Noted.
Listen on a faster speed and just power through.
What I don't like about Libby, because I don't normally use it, is I can't tell what chapter I'm on. Is that how that app is?
No, I can always tell what chapter I'm on.
We love Libby here. We say no bad things about Libby.
I just normally
We're hoping
use
for
Audible.
A sponsorship here.
No, there's nothing bad about it. I just might be using it wrong.
Yeah, no, Libby tells you what chapter. Except for when the book doesn't have chapter numbers and it just uses the character's name, then I get a little lost because...
It might be because it's on my car.
Maybe.
Like I'm listening to it in the car.
Oh, yeah. Like, so that part doesn't show up on the screen.
Yeah, because it's like a special car app.
Yeah.
So maybe that is why. Never mind.
No, it's on the Libby.
No shame to you, Libby.
We love Libby. We love Libby.
This is just my first book on Libby, so. Because I like my Audible. Sorry, Libby. But I didn't want to buy this book.
Libby's free.
I know, that's why I did it. I didn't want to buy it.
Any last thoughts about Five Broken Blades? We just still haven't figured out who's not a broken blade.
I
don't think we ever will.
We never will. Anastasia never will. That's for sure. Catherine and I will find out when we read the next book.
We'll read the next one and report back.
Yeah, you can spoil it for me. Because I want to know what happens, but I don't think I want to read it.
I want to know, but I don't want to know.
I was undecided when I wrote my my review, but now I'm a little bit more decided. I don't think I want to do it.
What if we read it and tell you it's awesome?
I don't know. I don't know. Could it really happen? She didn't describe anything.
What if
Jess
gives
you know
it
that?
5 stars?
Yeah,
she might read it then.
She almost described nothing. She would just say the dress was yellow and not give us any details.
That's what I mean.
That
was
a lot of time.
Yeah. No showing.
Like, is that really going to improve? I don't know.
The yellow dress had blood on it. Yeah, see, that's what I mean. It's just kind of bland. It was just no extra. And I'm not big on extra fluff. I don't really care if you give me a bunch of fluff.
A tiny bit is good.
But yeah, and basic details. That's not fluff.
Like, I don't need it to be flowery language, you know, all these, metaphors and stuff. But I do like knowing, I don't know, anything about...
Was it a long dress or a short dress? It is yellow, but we don't know anything else about it.
Was it satin or lacy or cotton?
Yeah. The blood soaked right into that silk yellow silk dress. You know, just tell us.
Yeah, just a little thing, yeah. And so it was just like, it was a red jacket. Cool, thanks.
And a goofy looking hat.
Like, what made it goofy? Was it
It was goofy looking. You get to interpret that however you want.
Well, I'm still going to read it. I'm still going to read the next one.
I'm going to read it too, because that last chapter was like, boom, boom, boom. And it's like, the enemy of our enemy is our friend. And I'm like, okay, I'm intrigued. Maybe this will be better.
Yeah.
This would make me want to read Six of Crows again.
Yeah. A good group heist.
Yeah, because I know it can be done. I know it can be done well with 6 people, not 5.
Yeah, and we just had to overcomplicate it with everybody they were a team, but they weren't really a team.
The only thing that was worse than this for me was Realmbreaker. The entire book, they were not together.
We're trying to get Victoria Aaron on our podcast, Anastasia.
That was like 800 pages of them not being together, even though they were supposed to be. I was mad.
I don't remember. Once upon a time, the show Big Bang Theory, and we got farther into the seasons, and couples, they were getting married and things, and I think they, in an interview or something, asked one of the producers, writers, what are you going to do to keep it interesting and fresh? And they said that they were going to kind of put the characters in pairs that they're not, that you don't normally see them in. And so I kind of felt like that when they were in the big carriage and they were like sitting with each other on the couches, and I was like, oh, okay, this is more interesting because now we get to see how you act with somebody else. So I did like that part. When we got down to the actual assassination/heist, because they were still stealing the crown, I thought that got kind of flimsy.
That went like really fast and weird. I was like,
Well, even when we got down to it, it's like, I'm gonna take the crown, she's gonna take the crown off, and you're gonna kiss him, and I'm like, why are we kissing him? And then they mention it like real quick, oh, we want it to look like a heart attack, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess, but
She's poisoning him with her lips. That's like how she always does it. It's her like signature move.
I know, but I just kind of feel like if you really want him dead, then just kill him.
Stab him?
Just kill him.
In the heart?
Yeah.
She can't stab him. She doesn't have blades.
She's not a blade! But
she's death incarnate.
So, oh yeah, so that I was thinking she wasn't a blade because she doesn't have a blade, but then they kept saying, you're forged in, you're steel, you've been in the forge. And I'm like, okay, so she is a blade. I don't know who's not the blade.
Is it the prince maybe is not a blade?
He is not, yeah, but also, he's not good at holding blades.
Royal was hired and not actually initially part of the crew either.
Yeah. Huh.
Good point.
But then he, like, pledged his sword to the prince, so I feel like he literally pulled his blade out and was like, I give you my sword.
I heard
sword.
You say pleasure his sword to
pleasure his sword. That's so not what happened.
I'm always trying to remember it like that.
Pledged.
The amount of time she's pledged. Probably heard something like that in her ears listening to her smut look.
Pledged his sword.
Not what she said, Jennifer.
Oh, God. So, yeah, I don't know. Every time I
think
started
we have the
think...
title of this episode now.
Pleasure is sword. So, yeah, every time I thought I knew, oh, this one's not the blade, then there would, like, literally be a line about a blade. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. But then Taeyoung gets taken off to prison, and then he's not part of the group anymore, so then there are five. So does that make it the five?
I don't know, like, but at I the don't want end... him to be gone the whole next book, or else I will be mad.
Yeah, I'll be sad. But then I thought maybe then if you take him out and leave him in prison, and they're kind of broken because they failed, and now they have to go do something else, and it's five of them, and they're... You know, they're kind
there
of
has to be an
broken?
Interview somewhere where this author has been asked this question. I need to look it up and see, like, just someone saying, like, five broken blades. Where does that title come from? Like, it doesn't have to be accusatory, but just...
And then,
doesn't have to be accusatory.
Who is the long-haired person on the side with the sword? Who is that?
So many good questions.
Oh, my gosh.
Valid questions.
All right, well...
I don't think we'll solve this mystery tonight.
Do we have they announced already when the second book's going to come out?
Not that I know
didn't
of.
Look that up.
Google magic happening live now.
It's 2025, January 7th.
Oh, okay. That's not that long.
Available to pre-order now.
Does it have a title?
Yeah, Four Ruined Realms.
Oh my god.
Another number to figure out.
Same cover, is this gonna be a countdown thing? Now.
Same cover but arrows. Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. None of them are broken either.
Are there how many
Asia's big ick.
How many dragon relics were there? Four?
I think there were four.
Because there's the crown, the ring, the necklace, and then that other one had something else that they kept sending people to get, and those people never came back. I don't remember what that thing was.
Oh, wait, yeah. I think there were, like, five of the, like, items or whatever, but there actually are, like, four kingdoms or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. There's five items because June and his daughter have two of them.
But what worth is... So June has the crown.
Crown, and then
she has
Aerie
the necklace,
has the amulet.
There was the sword and the ring.
Sword and the ring.
Crown.
Wow.
Sword, ring, crown, and it's like a pendant.
Yeah, no, the that was the necklace. Yeah,
that's the amulet.
Ari's got it. It's like a fancy hat or something. The goofy hat. I don't know.
There's this. It's the fifth one.
There you go.
What is it?
The goofy hat.
Oh.
Is it like a monkey? I don't know. Maybe I'm mixing this up with like another
what?
Secret.
No, oh, that's Aladdin. The monkey's in Aladdin.
Like the...
What are those called? The Dragon Lord's what?
Relics?
Okay, yeah.
Something like that.
I don't know. Okay, let's put this one to bed, because we're not going to figure it all out, and we'll just have to read it in...
Is it a sword or a dagger? Okay, sorry, yes, we're putting it to bed.
Sorry. next month, we're going to do a reread of Court of Thorns and Roses. Yes. Is that the plan, yes, ladies?
I have not reread this.
I've reread it so many times.
I reread it recently, so it'll be great.
I'm gonna do the graphic audio. I haven't done that yet.
Me too. That's how I'm doing it too, Jess.
So we'll see.
I've read it multiple times. I've done Audible multiple times, and I did the graphic audio multiple times because of Silver Flames when it came out too. I just started all over again. Anyway,
because you gotta get back in the feels.
I always gotta get in those feels.
All right. Well, then we will see you next month, and we'll break down A Court of Thorns and Roses.
May the odds ever be in your favor.
Maybe meet again on distant shores.
No mourners. No funerals. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.